This afternoon, we have our seemingly ongoing co-host or guest co-host with us, Kieran Doherty. Good afternoon, Kieran.
Hi, how's it going?
Excellent, thank you. He is here with us today because Terry is actually in Toronto playing at a beach volleyball tournament. So good for Terry, although it is a zillion degrees out today. So I hope he is hydrating well, but I'm sure he's having lots of fun. So Kieran has graciously agreed to stand in again today with us. So thank you, Kieran.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. It's always a blast.
It's fun. It's something. We decided today that a funny thing happened in our household this week, so we would run with that as a theme. But as I'm sure everyone is aware, Ozzy Osbourne passed away this week. And Terry said, oh my goodness, that's so sad. He had such a huge influence on my childhood development. To which Kieran and I both said, what? How did Ozzy Osbourne possibly have such a huge influence on your childhood development, given the character that he plays and the type of music he played? And really, Terry came from a lovely, wholesome household and just likes to think he's kind of a rough and tough bad guy, but he's really an old softy inside.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you saw earlier today, Hulk Hogan also passed away.
I did see that.
Big day for, like, a big week for 90s pop culture.
Right?
You know?
I know. I saw it very quickly and I thought, oh, I'll have to go back and revisit that. I'm not particularly attached to Hulk Hogan or Ozzy Osbourne.
Still sad nonetheless.
But when people start to die, I've said time and time again, I'm going to be super sad when Dolly Parton dies.
That will be, you'll have to do a whole show on that.
I will have to do
Hopefully it's not for a while though.
Hopefully not. Absolutely. So on that line, we were talking about music and artists who actually did have a huge influence on our childhood developments. And we thought that we would cover mine and Kieran's, seeing that we're here today. And we're going to go back and forth between his and mine and his and mine and the songs that really helped form us. So Kieran's going to give us his first artist and his first song that we're going to play for you all. And I understand it is Hoodie Allen.
Oh, actually, well, no, I was going to do it in the process of, like, this was, you know,
oh,
I want
okay.
to talk
starting
about
starting as like your
yeah.
younger.
Yeah, the youngest stuff.
Okay. So where are we starting then?
We are starting at Sum 41, which, like, the thing that I want to say about this the most is when you're a little kid, especially at the age that I grew up at, like, you're not particularly, like, in option, or like, you don't really choose the music that you listen to when you're
That's
a little
true.
Kid. It's really
we
just what's on the radio.
You, yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I was born in 1998, so like on the cusp of like the new millennium. So by the time I was 5 or 6 years old, you know, it's people are still using CDs at the time, but that was literally just the time where everybody then got like an iPod after that. So there's probably about 3 to 4 years where I knew what music was and could like rationalize that, but also like did not have option to like play my own music. So it
right.
was whatever was playing on the radio.
Yep, that and whatever we were playing in the car.
Yeah.
So you were listening to a lot of Broadway stuff.
Yeah, well, that's not what was part of my childhood development, that's for sure.
Oh, I bet your sister would say it was.
It probably is. I mean, I do know a lot more musicals and show tunes than the average guy my age that's 26. But I do like it. If it's good music, I'm not going to turn it off.
Right.
And it's funny now looking back that like I did not like, and I know you know this, but for the audience, I did not like country music at all.
Right.
Up until about 2 to 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I was adamant that whenever you guys would put it on in the car and any of the cars that we'd had, I have vivid memories of driving certain places. And like just anytime you guys would put on anything like the Dixie Chicks or anything like that. Like,
remember when I won the Stones? That's a funny story.
When you won the Stones.
Just a funny diversion, but we were driving to Florida one time, and what were the Stones called for, like,
oh,
the Avengers
yeah, yeah. Oh,
or something?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I thought this was, like, actually my childhood, not when I was, like, 18.
No, okay. you were a little bit older, and we played a game that we were all not supposed to do something. So, I don't know, Terry wasn't allowed to swear.
It's
and
actually
I wasn't
a good
allowed
game.
To do something else that we like to do, and then if you won something, then you had the power in the car.
Yeah.
And one of the power stones was the music.
Well, it was music, temperature.
Oh, I wanted the temperature stone.
Seat selection, food, and I think there was something else.
Right.
But basically the whole premise was...
I won.
Yeah, you did. But the whole premise was that you shouldn't get to, like, as one driver, shouldn't get to control everything, so we would divvy it up, and the four of us got four different options each, and we would have to, like, trade over the course of the... I think we were going to Nashville or Florida or something like that.
Somewhere that was a long drive.
We played it multiple times, but it was really fun, and it, like, definitely reminded me... I mean, now that I think about that, we should definitely do that again at some point.
We should do that. That was really fun, because also the number one thing Terry and I have ever argued about in our entire marriage has been the temperature in a car or a hotel room or a house, actually, for
yes.
that matter. But that is the number one thing that we fight about.
The thermostat is definitely
thermostat.
A central piece of arguments in the household.
It could break us one day, the thermostat.
But yeah, so like as a kid, you're not like actually in the choice of doing that. At least you probably are now, because like a lot of kids just have their own iPhones or iPods or anything.
Yeah.
So they can listen to whatever they want and find their own stuff on the internet. But the first ever thing that I remember listening to, and I don't remember what age I was, but I would say somewhere between 6 and 8 years old, I was listening to rock music with dad in the car on the way to a motocross race. And I think probably the first ever pickup truck we had, if you remember that, we had a before we had a motorhome.
I do remember. Yeah. That was when we had to use outhouses.
Well, yes.
That's because, why we got the motorhome, because yes. I didn't want to use outhouses anymore.
I think it was like one race that you came to that we had to use an outhouse and it rained and you were like, you know what? Actually, we'll get a motorhome after this.
That's exactly what happened.
But before that, I do remember hearing In Too Deep by Sum 41, which is probably their most popular song. And I would say a lot of people listening to this have probably heard it once or twice in their lives. It's a great song. But I remember saying to like my dad, like, we need to hear this song again. And he goes, well, it's on the radio. Like, we can't just like play it back. Fast forward to today. You can play anything you want.
Over and over
again. Yeah. Repeat forever. But I remember going into, I think it was either HMV or FYE, which FYE, I think was the name of it. There was a store like HMV.
Where you could lose Terry forever.
And there, yeah, you definitely could. It was either in like Ajax or Pickering or something like that. And we could not get it because like the CD that Sum 41 had just, it wasn't in stock. So they pre-ordered it. And I remember for a week or two having to wait to then go back there to get it. And it was like the best day of my life. And really? I had this CD. Yeah.
Well, even since then?
Yes.
I don't think so.
But yeah, basically like over the course of like the next, like I want to say 6 months, I probably listened to that on like a Walkman every day. And then dad had to buy me a Walkman after that.
He did.
But that was like literally just on the cusp of everybody getting like Blackberries and iPods right before, like this was probably a year or two before that. So there was the era that I did have a Walkman, but like, you know, it's crazy to carry around a full CD of just like 8 to 10 songs. Pretty funny.
It's funny though, because we all do have a memory of kind of that first song that was like a coming of age song.
100%.
So I remember like, I Love Rock and Roll and Eye of the Tiger and songs like that, that were like out when I just started to like go out of the house on my own and go out with friends and go roller skating. And those conjure up those kind of memories for me, because that was when you were like becoming a person and not just a kid who listened to whatever your parents were listening to.
100%.
So that's exactly where we're at. So we're going to go ahead, and you want to listen to In Too Deep.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great song. You guys saw them perform earlier this year. That's why I was going to
be able to love it. We've covered that already.
I mean, In Too Deep must have been pretty good live, though.
It was probably the only song I really did like.
Yeah.
But I didn't love it, and I didn't love the opening acts.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the company we were with, but it just isn't necessarily.
And the music video is great too, because I remember probably seeing that on like MTV at the time, which is maybe where I saw the song for the first time ever. And it's them like skateboarding in a pool during like a party and they're jumping off. You could go look up the In Too Deep music video, but that was like the first thing that I saw where I was like, wow, this is like a music video that like makes me feel like I want to be there.
I want to be cool.
Like as a little kid being like, I should spike my hair.
Perfect. Right. Okay. So let's go ahead and play it.
Complain, but when you're driving me insane, well then I think it's time that we took a break. Maybe we're just trying too hard, when really it's closer than it is too far. We'll be right back.
That is a very good song. It certainly does bring back memories for me as well.
Yeah, it's a great song. Like, I can't imagine why you wouldn't have wanted to hear that live.
No, it was good. I'll give you that. It was good. Okay, so we're going to jump back then to my formative years, and I wanted to talk about Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Have you heard of them?
No.
Oh, excellent. That's funny. They had a very famous song called Relax, and it was actually released in 1983. It would have been my early high school days. So
yeah, you would have been like 14 or 13.
Yeah, I was born in 68. Yeah. So yeah, very early high school days. And I remember going to high school dances, and that was a big thing. And there was all this swag that went with the whole Relax thing. So there was these, I mean, you probably don't remember Flashdance either, but there was
I've heard of Flashdance. Yeah.
So these kind of sweatshirts that hung off of one shoulder, and you had to have like leg warmers and fluorescent socks. And I had this sweatshirtish thing that said Relax in big giant letters across of it. And then we all used to tease our hair, and we had way too many beads, and we were trying to look like Madonna. Nice. And it was a whole
fashion. Was Madonna like the thing that like the girls wanted to dress like back in the day?
For sure. Yeah, she was absolutely.
Like, would she be like today's like Sabrina Carpenter?
I guess, but I don't. I do know who Sabrina Carpenter is. I just don't pay that particular much attention to her to know who she is. But yeah, so this conjures up some really great memories for me. And it's definitely something if you were at like an 80s party or when Terry does like a retro set when he's DJing, Relax will absolutely fill the dance floor. It's a fantastic song. I think that it's going to bring back memories pretty much for anybody of my age and genre. It's a good one. So there are some fun facts about it. It actually got itself banned because of the provocative lyrics, but at that time
play it then. Right?
I don't think they're that provocative. I guess we're about to find out.
Yeah,
it doesn't have an E on this one, so I think we're okay. I guess it's just what the innuendo is behind the song.
Okay,
but that just made it more popular.
I think that's like most music these days though, like right. There's so many things that are innuendos towards stuff that we're probably not allowed to talk about on here, right. So I won't,
but you know, everybody was kind of rebellious and crazy in the early 80s, and just there was some politics going on that people were arguing about. But they, you know, certainly made this their own. It was a great video as well. If anybody ever wants to go back and watch the Relax video, it's fantastic. So let's give it a listen. Oh boy, that takes me directly back to a high school gym. So much fun. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I did a dance marathon once.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, it was a 24-hour dance marathon at my high school. It was for, I don't know, United Way or some good cause or something like that. And it was, you danced, and I think you got a 10-minute break every hour.
Okay.
But it was literally for 24 hours.
How tired were you after that?
I remember being tired, but I was much younger than I am now. So you just kind of went off of adrenaline, and it got silly in the middle of the night, and it was super fun. But it's one of the memories that I have of high school that I really like, that we literally just, if you stopped dancing, you got tagged out and kicked out of the night.
Okay.
Except in the 10-minute break.
You guys should do like a 30 or a throwback Thursday trivia night for 12 hours, like a 12 hour one.
No one wants to hear dad say number 12 for 12 hours.
I do. That'd be pretty fun. Like if you guys started at, we'll say 7 p.m. and like, you went until 7 a.m.
Like
and
an all-nighter?
Yeah.
Like an all-night trivia.
Like a special. Like,
how about just a dance?
No. Because people can at least go in and out of the bar. But like if you had everybody like stay up all night and it was before a massive holiday, for example, I don't know which one it could be like, but you know, during a time where people could do it, that'd be so fun.
Okay.
Which is an all-night trivia.
All-night Terry Doherty
trivia.
He's
definitely listening to this right now.
He's like, you know what, that actually is a great idea. We should do that, absolutely. Okay, now you want to talk about Hoodie Allen.
Yeah, okay, well, I mean, I hope he will hear this at some point.
Ooh, Hoodie Allen?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Hoodie Allen's a rapper that kind of makes like pop rap, and he has been since, I want to say, 2008 or 9.
Ooh, could I tell a funny story?
Sure, go right ahead.
I remember when you first started talking about Hoodie Allen, and you were saying, he's bigger than Jesus. And I remember saying, I don't think so. You could walk into any room and say Jesus. Whether or not you believe in him is irrelevant. You have heard of him. I could walk in many rooms and have had said Hoodie Allen at the time. And many people in the room would not have heard of Hoodie Allen. But you and your, I don't know, 14-year-old boy state or whatnot were trying to tell me that he was bigger than Jesus.
Yeah.
I disproved you.
No, we'll have to have that conversation later.
He's still not bigger than Jesus, but go ahead. I just had that funny memory.
Released a couple songs. He actually went to the University of Pennsylvania, which I have not been to yet, but I will be later this year. And he went to Wharton, which is like the number one business school. And I don't think at any point did he think he was going to be like a massive rapper. And from like 2000, I want to say 12 to 2017 or 18, he was like selling out like massive theaters and like small arenas like everywhere.
Did you go see him?
Oh yeah, I've seen him like four or five times. I saw him at Madison Square Garden back in 2014.
Is that the one dad took you to?
Yes.
I remember.
Yes. But basically like he ended up getting a job in like software engineering at Google and like moving out there, and then dropped his like first ever mixtape, and that sold enough copies online and got enough plays that like he literally quit his job at Google to move back to New York and do it full time. And then after that he dropped, I want to say, an album a year after that that ended up like blowing up his career to like where he is now. And he's been doing this now for, I want to say, 15 years. So he's certainly not as big as he was at his peak, but also he just is kind of having a comeback in the last couple of weeks, because I know you and dad had talked about it before, but he sampled a Jesse McCartney song called Beautiful Soul just recently, like in the last couple months.
Okay.
And released it, and it's like, it's called Pretty Face, but it's like blown up on the internet and stuff like that, because it reminds people a lot of like their 2004, 2005, like early days love for like Aaron Carter, Jesse McCartney, like all those people. Then like the teen, you know, music era and stuff like that of like early 2000s music. And so he sampled that song and is doing like millions and millions of streams on Spotify again. But he's had a couple like massive songs with people that you might not have heard before. And one of these is one of the ones that I want to play, but this was released in 2014. And this was like, I want to say, at the peak of my Hoodie Allen kind of hype. And but I've never not loved his music. Like, he has not released a song that I didn't enjoy, whereas I do have a lot of musicians that have made an album where I'm like, nah, this isn't good anymore, I'm not a fan of it. There's never been a single song that he hasn't made that I haven't been like, I would listen to this again.
Oh, okay.
Do you have anybody like that for you?
Yeah, there. I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but I know there's people, like, this is gonna be a really silly example, but I thought I liked Will Smith.
Okay.
Until I bought Will Smith's Greatest Hits, which is, I think, called Big Willie Style. And he's so arrogant. And well, I don't think he cares. Or is he listening? But
literally
every single one of them was about how great he was. There was never a song about anything other than him being so awesome and him being Big Willie. And it got old and tiresome very quick. So then I stopped kind of being a fan of Will Smith.
Do you want to know something about Will Smith that I know? I think, I don't know if you know this or not, but we were somewhere, and I'm not going to say where because I was told not to say anything, but he has a cottage in Canada that he goes to. It's not in Ontario.
Okay.
We were somewhere two summers ago. for a wedding, if you remember.
I do. Okay.
And while we were there, I met someone that was saying that like he has a cottage that him and his family go to all the time in this province, and they do not tell anyone whatsoever.
Really?
And they fly in on like not a private like airport, but like they move in very big secrecy because it's like a nice place that you go to.
Well, they can probably just have some peace.
Yes. And he was saying that he found out because he lives on that lake, and he was at this wedding that we were at, and 10 years ago he was swimming there, and he was like drunk on like the Canada Day weekend or something like that, like swimming around in the water, and he swam over to a dock because he thought he was going to drown. And when he got up on the dock, Will Smith was like just fishing on the back of this like like dock, and he was like, "What the heck are you doing on my property?"
He was super drunk.
Well, that's what he thought originally. And then he went back there, and then apparently they came to his cottage or whatever after his house on that lake, and said like, "Hey, like if you could not tell anyone that like we summer here or we come here quite a bit." I don't know if they do anymore, but there was a time where he would come to a certain lake in province.
That's pretty interesting. And I don't remember you telling me that after that wedding.
Yeah, no. Well, we were worried about all sorts of other stuff.
Oh, yeah, because we got stuck in that province as well, which was kind of
but
fun.
Yeah,
well,
I'm trying to keep Will Smith's secret cottage in a different province
and
in Canada.
He's arrogant, so he probably likes you more than me.
But apparently, like, this is, and the guy who told me when he was saying it at the time, like, had no reason to lie. And also, he wasn't drunk when he told me either. So it wasn't like he was just making this up. Like, it'd be pretty weird to make this up.
That is a weird thing to make up.
But yeah, anyways, Will Smith sometimes summers in a certain province.
Canadian province.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, back to Hoodie Allen.
Okay, back to Hoodie Allen. That's how we got there.
This song that we're about to play in a very short moment is probably a pretty rare song that people have not heard Ed Sheeran rap on.
When Ed Sheeran raps.
Ed Sheeran rapping is pretty good. Like, Ed Sheeran's pretty good at it, and people love his music, obviously. He's sold out stadiums in probably every country in the world at this point.
Oh, we saw him. He was fantastic.
We saw him in Buffalo.
Yeah, because he's basically a solo man show.
Yeah.
And there was like no band. There was just him and him. He could still encapture the audience.
Yeah.
And entertain you and do all the things that a full band could do. I was in awe of how good he was.
He's got a loop pedal. Like, everything is done live as well, too. Like, he will literally build the actual songs because he's literally just a one-man show with no band or anything like that on the stage.
Right.
And then we'll loop it in and then start singing. It's crazy how he does it. It just shows you how talented he is.
Oh, yeah. He's incredibly talented. What's funny, too, is he's had a little bit of a, maybe more than a little bit, but he seems to do a lot of cameos.
More recently now than
shows.
In the last couple of years.
And so every so often you'd be like, hey, that's Ed Sheeran randomly on this TV show.
Well, I don't know what his philosophy is, but I think if you've sold millions and millions of copies in stadiums all over the world, at some point you're probably like, maybe I want to do something else. Like, maybe he's gotten a little sick of wanting to just put out like diamond albums every couple of years.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything like to be like, I've already done this. Yeah, I should do it again. Whatever. It's
maybe
lame.
He's just trying to stretch himself and do something
other
a
stuff
little bit different.
And
right?
Chill out. And like,
he's pretty, it's always funny when he shows up because he's playing a character, but also kind of Ed Sheeran.
Oh, he's so Ed Sheeran. Like, you're he's like, so, okay, when you Ed see him, you're just like, you're just so pale and ginger. Like, that's what he is. And that's not a bad thing because I am pale and I've also been called ginger all the time. So I can say it, but yeah.
You are, yes, you can say that.
Yeah, cool. Well,
that's
let's
so
play
so we
all about
go
it.
Ahead and play this?
Yeah, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it after.
Okay.
Just a singer with a game plan. I play guitar, no need to worry about my Drake hand. 80,000 people in front of the stage, damn. Waiting for the sun to shine just to rock these Ray-Bans. I just wanna leap, not literally leap. Wanna push the music through the speakers. Double shot glassing in the back of the pub. My mate Jason at the bar screaming, who want what? Now, please be warned that every summer feature on has capacity to be reborn. I said that anything can happen when I pick up a pen. But now I'm all about love, so won't you say it again? I said I used to be the shy type. Back on my back on public transport, sort of guy type. Now I'm in the limelight, trying to get my mind right. Body clock is in the cloud, so often guess it's high time. Hoodie sing the line like, I got soul, I won't quit. And your dad don't like it when I talk my shit. Cause I'm all about it, baby.
Megans and Ashleys, and they're wondering if there's room for them to get on my bus. I'm like, naturally, baby, let me find a spot in the front for you and for your friends. You can be mine, but we can pretend. Oh, typical rapper acting in a typical fashion. I'm doing something that's different. I'm trying to pull up my pen. The young prince of Manhattan, not everybody believe it. Adrian Broner, the way I'm ducking and weaving. We go together like interceptions and Revis. She said the only rapper she loving is Yeezus. One for the money, two people since the beginning. 3 million records get sold and not everybody is winning. I'm Larry David plus Miles Davis. So everybody hated and f***ed, I hardly blame them. Cause I got sold, I won't quit. And your dad don't like it when I talk my shit. Cause I'm all about it, baby. I'm all about it, baby. Staying up late just to pass the time. And your parents don't like it when you out getting high. But I'm all about it, baby. I'm all about it, baby. And they don't know anything about us. So anything about us. So anything about it.
No, no, no.
And they don't know anything about us. So anything about us. So anything about it.
No, no, no.
Little bit of technical difficulties there at the beginning.
I guess what we've discovered is it's really good that I'm a better realtor than I am DJ.
Hey, you're a great DJ.
I'm not, but I'm a great realtor.
You are.
I have to slide that in at least once a show. But yes, we did have a little bit of technical difficulties. Just one more reason why we always need Terry.
We always do.
There's so many reasons why we need Terry, but he's very good at this. And I usually just get to sit over there and play the commercials. And so today I'm trying to be in the driver's seat.
He is the rock in our family, the stable one.
I'm giving him face. He actually is. Let's just say, truth be told. Okay.
So what did you think of that song?
I remember it. You played it all the time.
Oh, that's such a good raving review. I remember this.
Oh, no, I do like it. And I do remember you playing it. So it brings back, again, happy your childhood memories for me. But yeah, it's absolutely a great song. I appreciate that one.
It is a great song. It's a good one. Ed Sheeran raps his tail off. And yeah.
I like when Luke Bryan raps as well.
Yes. There's a song called Georgia Ways that Luke Bryan just released with Quavo, the rapper from the Migos.
I think we played it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And
but
Teddy
I really
Swims.
Like it when they rap. That's pretty fun.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Whenever people should shouldn't rap, or like the ones who don't typically do that are talented in a different genre do it, it's kind of neat to see.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty fun. Okay. So we're going to move right along, or backwards, I guess, to my childhood again. And I wanted to share with everyone the song Tainted Love. Tainted Love is also a childhood memory for me. And again, it was around that time when I just started to, you know, spread my wings a little bit and go out of the house and have friends and have some freedom. But I have a specific memory. You will remember my friends, Laura and Sherry, that you've heard me talk about.
I know who they are.
You've heard of them. We don't see or talk to them that much anymore, but they were very important to me at one point.
They were like, you guys were the trio, eh?
Yeah, they were the both my maid of honor at my wedding.
It's crazy.
It was just too hard to pick because we were all so close. So I had them both as my maid of honors.
That's awesome.
It was great. My memory on this one surrounds the fact that Sherry, though, lived with her backyard onto a school park. And so we were allowed to go to the swing set. I know that sounds really funny to say that we were allowed to go to the swing set.
Well, no, I mean, like Sarah Marie and I weren't allowed to do that for a while.
You're still not allowed to go to the park.
Pretty much.
But we were allowed to go to the swing set so other Sherry's mom could see us. And I specifically remember, you know, one of those memories of, you know, feeling like you're swinging so high, you're about to touch the sky. And Tainted Love was like a new song at the time. And I think we had a portable radio that was also all the rage back then, you know, like a boombox or something.
Yep.
Sherry, of course, had the best one because Sherry's family had the most money of everybody's. So she had a boombox out in the field.
This is so like passive aggressive, right?
It was just a little like 12-year-old. Mm-hmm, yeah. Of course she had it.
Yeah.
But that's okay because we have stuff now. So that matters. She actually, now that I can think about what she's doing with her life, she could probably still have a better boombox than I have.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
We are very happy with our life and our lifestyle.
Fortunately, nobody has boomboxes anymore because this isn't the 1986.
That's true, right? Yeah. So Soft Cell sang Tainted Love, and I actually have a fun fact for Terry that he would be very proud of me for finding, is that this is a cover song. So everybody thought this was Soft Cell's song when it first came out, but in the research that I was doing in preparation for the show, I did determine that it is a cover. So sometimes when Terry plays trivia, he likes to stump people with cover songs. And everybody thinks this is original, but it is not.
I don't see what value you get by doing that at like trivia, being like, oh, I've stumped you. This is a cover.
Like, you might come up with a song that you would say, like, oh, you got to hear this great song, Mom. And I'm like, I partied to that in the 70s.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe me. And then we'd have a little banter about it or whatnot. But yeah, often you think things are original songs that they definitely aren't.
No, I know. I just imagine him being like, ha, I got you on a Friday night.
He does, actually. That is something that he talks about. Do you know this song at all?
I've heard of a song called Tainted Love, but it might not be this one.
Okay. That's okay. So this, one of the interesting facts about this one was that the lead singer was openly gay, and that was not something as commonplace back then or that was spoken about. So it was a little bit of rebellious, but they did make a big impact on the LGBTQ community.
Nice.
And they loved that they were, you know, they were kind of goth and they were kind of dark before that was all cool.
Like,
and
when it was like actually alternative.
Yeah, before grunge, before goth, all that kind of good stuff. So we're going to go ahead and play Tainted Love, and it's going to take me back to my friend Sherry's swing set. So let's have a listen. Okay, let's see if I can find the pause button. Kieran's about to kick me out of the driver's seat.
I'm not going to kick you out of the driver's seat. I'm just, you
apparently,
know.
I want to play Texas Forever really badly.
It is a good song.
Because it keeps coming. Playing it next, I promise. We've teased it twice now.
Yes. Okay, so I have heard that Tainted Love song. So just to be clear, is that the same? Is that the original or is that the cover?
That's the cover.
Okay.
Right.
But there is an original that's even older than that.
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
I didn't know that song was when you were around on a swing set.
Yeah, well, I was... probably like 10 or 11 or something like that. So yeah. Like not three or four on a swing set.
It's just like this is more like the music fan in my head. It just sounds more modern than like that. Like it sounds like it would have come out in the last, like, I don't know, mid 2000s, yeah, not like
no,
the 80s.
No, it was early 80s.
Huh.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Okay, let's do our weekend report so that we can share with everyone what we're doing. And it's actually not a giant report this week. We have a little bit of a quiet weekend, but we are, of course, going to be at the Loaf and Ale tomorrow night, where Terry will be doing regular trivia from 7 o'clock until 11 o'clock. And he asked me to announce the rounds. So round one will be the Fast and the Furious. Round two is Divorced Dads Rock. I don't know what that means.
Is he preempting something?
Potentially. Number three is Motown. And number four is F Cancer Poison Playlist. So we all know what that means, but we all also know some people who have survived cancer.
Yes.
And I think that that's a great theme. And I know that some of those people contributed to that playlist.
Awesome.
So we appreciate their contributions. And we are always happy to say F cancer and fight for those who have survived it.
I'll be the first to say this. I don't like cancer at all.
That's good. I'm glad you took a stance on that.
Just so everybody knows, I don't think it's good.
It's not cool.
Yeah.
I think that's one that
everybody's
a cool thing.
Unified across the board that cancer is not good.
Yeah, I think that is united.
Yeah.
You're correct. Okay, so that's Friday night. Saturday, we don't technically have anything planned yet. We have a lot of things we could do around the house, but we'll see what the weather's like, whether or not we're going to spend it at the house at the pool, or whether we're going to go to the lake in the trailer, or whether we're going to do household chores or not. And of course, I am always open to show one of my houses that's on the market. So if anyone's interested, please check out our website. You can see what we have available, because we'd love to get some of those things sold. And then on Sunday, we're actually back to the Thousand Island Playhouse to see one of the plays. So we have a pick four, as we've mentioned, and we are seeing Mary Poppins this weekend. And I have seen great reviews that it's fantastic. So we're excited about that. Also, it's always, they're incredible performances. So that's going to be a really nice afternoon as well. So we'll see where the rest of the weekend takes us. We're really good at filling our time with nonsense. We've been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah.
So we will figure something out. So do you have anything you'd like to share that you're doing this weekend?
Yes. I'm in Toronto for the most part. Like, I was in Toronto last night until 2 a.m. and then came back
wasn't
here.
Wasn't it like 3 a.m. when you got home?
Yeah, I did. And then woke up today and watched the news with grandma. Shout out grandma if she's listening.
I'm sure she is.
And then it's tremendously hot out in Kingston. I know it is in New York as well too, and in Toronto. Because there's like a crazy heat wave right now going everywhere. And I know I need to cut the grass. So I'm going to bring that up now.
That was for Terry.
My dad is listening.
So all our family subliminal messages are coming through the airways today.
I've thought about it already.
He's fully aware.
But it's like 35 degrees out right now in Kingston. And so before I go back to Toronto, I'll be doing that. And then tomorrow night, for context, as I know you know this, and I've probably said this once on a prior episode, I shot a documentary at Western University. Go Stangs. I know we're at Queens right now, so no one's going to want to hear that. On a buddy of mine who's a DJ in London, and he's performing at a nightclub in Toronto. But the crazy part about this is like he's the headlining DJ now. He's really big, and he's opening up for a lot of famous people in the next year, which it will be awesome to go to and continue to film this documentary that I've released. But on Friday night, he goes on, you're going to hate this, at 2 a.m.
Oh.
That's when he's the headlining DJ, and the club is open until 4, and him and another guy are playing back to back, but he just closed for Zedd, which is like a big DJ and pop artist at the Calgary Stampede. And so him and that guy that performed after Zedd are headlining this nightclub in New York City, or in Toronto. And all of my friends and I are going, and I'm going to film it, but we're literally not even leaving. Like, you'd want to be in bed by 10. We're not even leaving the house that we're staying at until like 11:30.
Just for the record, I used to be cool.
I think you're cool now.
I'm not. But when I was young, I also used to go out late at night.
Yep.
I used to do things all night, and now I sleep all night because that's what I
You do all night dance parties back when you were a kid.
I did when I was in high school.
I'll be doing that on Friday. Like, I can guarantee you that when I actually end up going to bed, because we'll be there until 4 a.m, and then there's a ton of 24-hour like places on like Bloor and King Street West to go get food. So we will probably go get food after he's done performing, and I will probably not be in bed until 6 a.m. back at the house I'm staying at. Like, it's going to be an all-night thing.
I'll be getting up.
Yeah, literally.
When you are going to bed.
It's crazy how different our sleep schedules are. And then nothing crazy for the rest of the weekend other than probably just hanging out with friends before I'm done in Toronto. And then literally next weekend, going to Nashville.
Right. Why are you going to Nashville?
My sister is getting married to one of my closest friends, who's definitely doing cooler stuff than this right now. He's in the Air Force. And their joint bachelor and bachelorette party is in Nashville. And I've got a bunch of things planned for them to do as like a scavenger.
I can't wait to hear all about it.
We'll be documenting a lot of it as well, too. So hopefully there'll be a cool recap video as a result of it.
Only footage that we're allowed to see.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, that's a next weekend thing. But yeah, pretty much this weekend just in Toronto and sleeping and trying to make sure I stay out of the heat because it's going to be insane.
Yeah, it is brutal. Okay, so let's finally listen to Texas Forever.
Yeah, it's been played due to technical difficulties twice now.
So why don't you tell us why you picked this song, what it means to you, and how it was a part of your development?
I shoot documentaries now. That's all I do. As you know, that's pretty much like the only thing that I have done consistently while I've been in school. And having just graduated a couple weeks ago, this is kind of like where I'm at now and want to make a career of it. And I'm very confident I'm going to be able to do that.
You're very good at it.
And the first name I've shot a bunch of different documentaries in New Orleans, Texas, Arizona, California, where else? Wisconsin. And then I'm going to Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Alabama in the fall to shoot three more documentaries. But I shot one of them in the first episode in this series of 22-minute episode docu-series that I'm releasing at some point in 2026. It's called Texas Forever, and it's based off this song. But basically, like, it's a really nice song. And if you like country music and you like, you know, good storytelling and stuff, this song is definitely for you. And the reason I chose it, actually, is because this is a newer artist. And this song is actually the title track off of his debut album called Texas Forever, and it's coming out tonight at midnight.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, so this is like the lead single off of it, which is why it's obviously the same name as the album, because it's probably the most marketable. And he has like a 19-track album coming out in like 5 hours. Wow. Or at midnight tonight on Thursday.
So I gonna like this song?
You will love this song.
Have I heard it before?
You'll hear it in the documentary next week when I'm done editing it.
Okay.
For sure.
So I'll hear it lots of times?
Yes, you definitely will, as I play it repeatedly.
Is it kind of like Landman reminiscent?
A little, yeah, which we should talk about it a little.
Talk about Landman.
Yeah, because I've been listening to the Landman soundtrack quite a bit. But yes, and so this guy actually performed at the music festival that I shot part of the documentary at in Snook, Texas, which is in the middle of nowhere, but near College Station, which is where Texas A&M was.
That's where I kept seeing you on your icon on your phone telling me you were at College Station.
Texas, yeah, pretty cool place.
I was like, I don't know where that is, but...
It's where Texas A&M is
where
located.
Where you were the whole time, though.
Yeah, it's an awesome place, and it is so... If you love the South, if you love country music, if you love anything about that, whatsoever, this documentary is cool, and this song is the ending song that you hear right at the end of it. And I came up with it, and I was like, this is what it should be called. And it's pretty emotional towards the end of the documentary, whereas the early stages of it is one big party, but I wanted to wrap it up in a cool way, and I thought that this song was perfect for it and the name for it as well too.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and have a listen finally to Texas Forever.
People get lucky sometimes, and it's gone just like that. Every time I leave your house, I take one more look back. Well, the highway's in my veins, but you'll always have my heart. Don't know where it'll take me, but please don't fall apart. Cause there's some things that don't change, like the red letters in the scripture. There's some things that don't fade when the sun shines on the picture. Those guarantees, what's meant to be, always go together like hearts and sleeves, wild and free. You and me in Texas forever.
scripture. There's some things that don't fade when the sun shines on the picture. Those guarantees what's meant to be always go together like hearts and sleeves, wild and free. You and me in Texas forever.
Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good song.
That is a good song. Yeah. I can see how you're going to place it in some of the work that you're doing, yes. And I can see me crying.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's meant to be emotional. Like, it's meant to be a gut punch and be like, wow, that's sad. It's like at a sad point.
And I actually know the plot of some of your stories.
Yes.
And I cried reading the script of one of your stories.
I remember you cried watching the Mardi Gras one. That was...
Literally, right about now, I could cry for any given reason.
That's fair. Think about how much you're going to cry on Sarah Marie's wedding day.
I am going to cry.
And we're only still 5 months away from that.
We were at a wedding a couple weeks ago that Dad was DJing, and I was bawling my eyes out. And I didn't even know the couple. Yeah. So imagine what it is, Sarah Marie and Maz confessing their love for one another in front of everyone. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to breathe.
Yeah, and it's just me up there doing impressions.
You're going to do something because you are the master of ceremonies.
I am.
Which is a little frightening.
I'm the guy. It'll be so fun. I'm going to take it really seriously. I hope that they know that.
Like, yeah, they do. Absolutely.
As much as I like to be a fool every other day, that is the day that I will be putting on let's be... good and show how much you care.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day. I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be good.
It's going to be great.
All right, what do we got next?
I got one more song, maybe two if we have enough time, but I wanted to throw it way, way back now to the 1970s. And this is me thinking about very, very early music that I would have listened to on an LP in my parents' basement with my sister. Because in the beginning, you only have your sister. You don't know anybody else. And my sister was 5 years older than me, so she was already into music.
All you need is your sister, and I will go on record to say that.
That's true. Yeah. You have a fantastic one.
I do.
Like, you and your sister are best friends.
We're the boys.
Literally, all the time, I walk by your bedroom, and I can hear you talking to her like she's there.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to remind myself that I know she's on FaceTime in Moose Jaw.
Yeah.
However, it makes me happy when I hear you guys giggling and laughing downstairs.
We are. That's what we do.
So some of the first albums I remember ever being around the house was like Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club. I had the Lionel Richie album. We had Supertramp. We had a Whitney Houston album. Like, that, those are the ones that I specifically remember. But you're going to laugh, and Terry's going to laugh when he realizes I'm playing this. But we also had the Bay City Rollers.
Okay.
And so also there was somebody named Sean Cassidy, who apparently was very cool and handsome. I had a poster of him.
I just imagine like an old-timey radio them going like, Sean Cassidy from the Bay City Rollers coming in
and
live.
And the Partridge Family and all sorts of, now that you look back, they were terrible. But at the time they were very cool and very hip, and it was really fun. So I thought that we would, I knew you were playing a sad song, so I thought we would lighten it up and play something silly. So there was this song called Saturday Night by the Bay City Rollers. And they were just fun. They were named after a random city in the U.S. because they didn't know what else to do with their names. They brought back tartan. They kind of did some silly things like that. They were on Saturday Night Live. This was the time when like roller mania was all the thing. So people were going roller skating and disco balls. So it would have been also like John Travolta.
Like, this was like peak 70s.
Yeah, late 70s. I don't have an exact year on it, but a crazy fun song that I thought I would make everybody listen to because I'm not sure that they want to at this point. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to play Saturday Night for everybody. And this is going to be a throwback for anybody who's of this age that they're going to go right back.
Can't wait to hear it.
Saturday night, Saturday night, ay, ay, ay.
sorry, what night?
It was Saturday night. There's been a lot of songs about Saturday nights, and there was also a bad one about Friday night when you guys were kids. I forget who sang it, but it was really terrible, and it was like a one-hit wonder like JoJo Siwa or something like that.
Oh, you mean It's Friday by Rebecca Black?
Yes.
Like the, it's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Yeah, don't sing.
Yeah, not very good at singing.
But that's okay. Literally, that was silly, and it was fun, and it takes me immediately back to... in my brain to my parents' basement. And funny thing is, though, we still have the record player that we would have been listening to it on in our garage now. Because after my parents sold their house, we got a lot of their stuff. And Terry likes stuff. And so we have that in the garage. He said he was going to restore it. Sarah Marie thinks it's haunted.
Nothing you said was false. It reminds me of like songs like that that only have like a couple like lyrics in them, especially like in a hook where it's literally just them saying it's Saturday night repeatedly. It makes me think of like songs like Brick House as well too, where they're just like brick house.
Yeah,
like it's just that's
that.
What it is. But if it sounds good, it sounds good. It doesn't really matter what the lyrics are. It's kind of just being conveyed. I'd find it funny because now, and like I'm using this song as a illustration, not that I like this song, but the song Gucci Gang is the exact same thing, and your generation would think it's dumb. But
I think you played it for me and I did think it was dumb.
Yeah, it is. But my point is that song was big and, you know, popular back in like 2016 or 17 when it came out, and it's the exact same format as any of these songs, but your generation would be like, oh my god, this is the best thing ever, meh. Like, and you know, they would not listen to Gucci Gang or anything like that.
Yeah, no, 100% correct.
Just pointing out the hypocrisy of older generations.
Oh, for sure. I have one more song that I wanted to play, and this also brings back a couple of different memories. So I'm going to play The Unicorn by the Irish Rovers. And this might be actually one of the earliest songs I ever remember hearing. And I obviously, when you're so young, you don't have clear memories. But my dad's father was from Ireland. I have very foggy memories of listening to music, potentially being at their cottage or maybe at their house once in a while. And I remember hearing the song The Unicorn, and I liked it as a child. And then, so obviously I have Irish in my heritage, and then fast forward and I marry a man who is literally born and raised in Northern Ireland.
The Irish Rover.
Literally,
he's born definitely
going
to ask you to call him that later.
Oh, yeah. So it's great, because then when I started hearing it again, I was like, oh wow, this is like one of the first songs I ever remember hearing, even just as a child that probably got told to go to bed because the grown-ups needed to play cards on a Saturday night or something like that. So it really brought back a lot of memories. The Irish Rovers, though, I would tell you, Terry and I had a recent debate about a couple of years ago, not so recently, but they're Canadian.
Are they?
Yeah.
I would have thought they were Irish.
I would have also thought that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we get 2 points for CanCon and Irish content, I guess, for Terry, because he likes that. But this is actually, like, I think, a very cute song. I think it's got a nice message to it, other than there's no reason why there's no unicorns. But I'm going to play it out to that, and then you're going to go into the corridor. So thank you for listening along, and thank you, Kieran, for being my co-host again today. And I think we did okay, other than a couple of technical difficulties. But we're going to leave you with The Unicorn.
Thank you.
Was green. There was more kinds of animals than you've ever seen. They'd run around free when the earth was being born, and the loveliest of all was the unicorn. And there was green alligators along the geese, some humpback camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn. Now God seen some sinning, and it gave him pain. And he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey, brother Noah, I'll tell you what to do. Build me a floating zoo, and take some of them green alligators along the geese, some humpback camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget my unicorn. Old Noah was there to answer the call, and he finished making the arches as the rain started to fall. He marched in the animals two by two, and he called out as they went through, hey Lord, I've got your green alligators along the geese, some humpback camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn. And Noah looked out through the the driving rain. The unicorns were hiding, they were playing silly games. They were kicking and a splashing while the rain was pouring. Oh, them silly unicorn. There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees. Noah cried, close the door, because the rain is pouring, and we just can't wait for no unicorn.